It's time to get behind the lyrics, the music, and the artist. You're listening to the Music's Journey podcast, brought to you by NowAndThenMagazine.com, your music and entertainment online magazine. I'm John Marshall. With our special guest, here's your host, Kim Sear.
Joining me today on Music's Journey is pop artist Jordan Hart, an incredible lyricist in his songwriting, a visionary when it comes to his musical identity and his producing. And he has his brand new single that's out right now, his new EP, his debut title track, which is Only Pieces of the Truth. Here to talk about the music, the lyrics, and the artist is Jordan Hart. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on. It's an honor to be here.
So happy to have you here. What a great song you have right now.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Kim.
This one really explores the want to connect and, you know, what stands in our way when it comes to just, you know, vices that we might have that are inside that we might not be facing correctly or properly. And we lose a lot of things in our life because of that, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this song used to be called Whole Lot of Love, actually. Mm. And you'll see why when you hear the song. I sang it about seven times. But when I presented it to the label and we kind of like developed a rapport over a couple months, I think they felt comfortable enough to tell me that it might not be the best idea to come out with a song with the same title as a very, very famous Led Zeppelin song.
Yes.
He recommended that before I go after Zeppelin, I should probably get a couple more years under my belt. you know, they asked if there was another title or another lyric in the song that I could think of using as the title. And so after combing through, I think I found my favorite lyric on the whole album, possibly. And it's not like a particularly profound or poetic lyric, but it just hit me the hardest. And it's just that words are only pieces of the truth. You know, it just kind of helped define the whole record for me in a couple of different ways. But yeah, it also felt like it, you know, it kind of landed at today's time when so much of our communication is happening just through words because we can't be in person anymore, you know. And I feel like so much gets lost in those transactions where it's just, you know, using an imperfect language to say so much more than it's capable of.
I think that when it comes to love, you know, there's always a fear, you know, to mm. some degree, even though we don't want to succumb to that fear. Mm. But I think it's always there for everybody. And when you're dealing with stuff inside, too many people start out relationships where they want people to see a certain thing. They're not really themselves. And, you know, when it comes to being able to let certain people in, allow themselves to go there, more importantly. You know, I think it's more based on, you know, the hardships that they're having, being able to just be vulnerable enough to go there, let alone letting
Absolutely.
Somebody in, right?
Yeah, and I think those hardships, you know, that fear of vulnerability is so interesting because I think that at the root it comes from how much we desire to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And I think because we desire to be accepted for our truest selves, it creates this immense amount of fear about the rejection of your truest self. And so there's all of these different ways of, you know, exactly as you said, putting up different masks and shielding your heart when really all you want to do, or at least definitely all I want to do is connect as deeply as I can with people around me. You're really insightful, Kim. Man, it's a pleasure to, talk to you about this stuff.
Well, you know, when it comes to this kind of stuff, I think we're kind of kindred spirits because
wow.
I work with a lot of people, and not just in this industry, but outside of this industry professionally. And I think that so many people have a tough time being able to face those vices. And I think just because of everything we've gone through, you know, this last year, that once the noise steps out of the way, you don't have much choice but to come face to face with a lot of that stuff that we run away from. You can't just simply get in your car and you can't just simply go see your friends or, you know, mask it with something else. Mm-hmm. You're stuck, you know, face to face with that person that, you know, life usually takes care of it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to looking after our kids or we got to go to work, you know, different things. So when all that's stripped away, people have to talk it through and whether or not they can be vulnerable enough to find that, you know what, the best answers on the other side of that, like walking through that fear, if they only just gave it a shot.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so interesting. I honestly wouldn't just be saying this. Not the type to do that, but I've had a lot of conversations about this song at this point, and it's really cool. I've never wanted needed my music to resonate exactly as I intended it to resonate.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm grateful to hear all of these different perspectives about what the song means to them, but it's really cool. This is, I think, the first conversation I'm having with somebody that like picked it up exactly as I laid it down. It's just like this, you got exactly kind of what it meant to me. So it's really, really cool to talk to you about this.
Nice. I'm glad, because that's the first thing I picked up on, because like the main character, you know, that the song's about, you know, is talking about peeling back those layers, and is he willing to do it? He wants to. You know, that love's there. It's not that the love isn't. That love is right there. But can he pull it back just to say, okay, you know what, I am here, and this is what I want, and this is what I need for myself, that self-love. And trusting in his heart and his soul that that person's good for them. But, you know, he's almost willing to walk away from it all.
Yeah.
Just because he can't find it with himself just to be able to say, you know what, I'm okay if I do this. And that's a huge message out there today. Huge.
Thank you so much.
Proud of you, man. Proud of you.
Means a lot.
You know, that's a good song. You know, like, it's such a great message, because so many people are struggling with this. And whether, you know, financially, job-wise, or whether or not it's, you know, somebody that they're close to, that they just, you know, you want so much for that person to see who you are, or you want that person to see what's really there. And, you know, that person, it's not you, right? It's just that person has got the walls up there for themselves. It has nothing to do with us as people. And I think that, you know, if people can step back and take a really good look at that, is that person willing to go there? Are they willing to bring those walls down? It takes a lot of love and a lot of patience, right?
Absolutely.
But there's only so much one person can do, but you got to be able to self-love through that and say, it's not you. You know, I'm giving everything I can, but we're just hoping that that person, you know, feels that vulnerability is a good thing, not a negative.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that people get that message, you know, when it comes to this, because, you know, just right now, everybody needs that. And I think walking through that fear is the very best medicine we could possibly have. And that's why I try to look at the good when it comes to what's happened in the last year and a half.
And,
taking a positive out of it. Would I have ever been able to see this? Would I ever been able to see what I really want? Or have I just been living life? And then later down the years, you're looking at what you could have had, what you should have had if you had just walked through it. And I think that if people face that now, they're just going to live a much more real life to themselves.
Yeah. And more to your point, what a beautiful opportunity to do that, where we, like, as you say, life is sort of put on hold and it's forcing us to deal with the underlying currents that matter most to us, like our you know, our immediate relationships right in front of our faces, and our relationship with ourself. So it's a beautiful opportunity.
It's a beautiful way to be honest. Like, it's very powerful to be honest with ourselves. And I think if people just dig a little bit deeper, and it's just, you know, spending that time with yourself, whether it's writing it down, like, do you do an awful lot of that when it comes to your writing? Because I know that it's important to you to be honest when it comes to your lyrics.
Yeah. I mean, it's always been, like, honestly, first and foremost, music has sort of serviced as a sense of therapy for myself. Just like, you know, like a journaling, but in a deeper way almost. Music sort of helps me to articulate things that I can't or don't know how to articulate with words. And so it's sort of like a meditation and a healing process for me, and it always has been. And it's not so much that, like, externally I really care about being honest, although I guess if I really think about it, I would and do. It's just that my process has always been so intimate that the results end up being very vulnerable and open, I suppose.
I can't see you doing something that you didn't feel, I think is what I'm getting to the point. It's like, when you're writing, it's something that you feel, or you just wouldn't do it. Like, if you didn't believe in it, to get on the stage and sing those lyrics, I think it'd be pretty hard for you.
Yeah, I think that's a deeper personality trait of mine for sure.
Well, it's a good one to have, right?
Oh, thanks, Kim.
It's a really good one to have. This song, when I'm peeling it back, when I'm looking at generation after generation, I don't think it matters what age group you are. I think that the message in the song stands the test of time, because whether people were going through war times, or, you know, whether or not people were just going through, you know, the 60s and the 70s, there was so much that was happening there when it come to diversity and becoming your own person and being able to have your own voice. And, you know, just so many things that have happened throughout life that I think that this just happens over and over again, you know, when it comes to people, whether it's male or female. You know, when they're experiencing tough times or have had a rough childhood or just have never been able to express themselves in their home. Like, there's so many different scenarios, you know, that people would go through that would run into this issue. This, as I said, I think it just stands the test of time. This, somebody could get something from this 20 years from now.
That's so cool to hear you say that. It's something I'm like really interested in, is discovering sort of what about me is innately human. Like, what would it, you know, exactly kind of as you said, how, in what ways would I be the same if I was born with this exact genetic makeup, just in a different time? Or in what ways do I relate to a person with a completely different genetic makeup than myself? Like, what does it mean to to be this, you know, this species in this time? So it's really cool to hear that it resonated in that way. Wow.
We have so many global listeners, and they're from every corner of the globe. And I know that they're going to pull something different from this. So it'll be interesting to see the stories that come in and the messages that we get. And we should pass those on to you.
Please, I would love that so much.
Let's play the song track right now if we can. And that's Only Pieces of the Truth, debut EP by my very special friend here, singer-songwriter and producer Jordan Hart, here on Music's Journey.
Look into my eyes and find it. Take your time, take it in. Through the pride and past the silence, just a little more. I'm sorry for the state that I'm in. Sleep ain't coming easy anymore. There's demons at the door. Hand me up all night. When I stumble home, I'm all messed up. Staring at your door, I'll never knock. Time wasted without you. And I know I'm holding all the cards, wishing you could see inside my walls. 'Cause I saved you a whole lot of love. Empty hours and empty spaces. Give me time. 'Cause we've been turning into strangers. Just a little more, yeah. Been looking for the way to phrase this, but words are only pieces of the truth. And you've got demons too. They had you up all night. And when I stumble home, I'm all messed up. Staring at your door, I'll never knock. Time wasted without you. And I know I'm holding all the cards, wishing you could see. On what it should be. You should look at what it is to me. You should look at what it is to me. You should look at what it is. When your eyes are burning through me, you should look at what it is to me. You should look at what it is to me. You should look at what it is. When I stayed up half the night, living hate at the same damn time. You should look what it means to me. You should look at what it means. When I'm wandering through the city and the bottle's finally empty, and you're all that's left to fill. It's when I stumble home, I'm all messed up. It's time wasted without you. And I know I'm holding all the cards, wishing you could see inside my walls. 'Cause I saved you. Yeah.
great song. That is Jordan Hart and the title cut from his new EP, Only Pieces of the Truth. I'm John Marshall. Now let's get back to the Music's Journey podcast with our special guest. Here is Kim Sear.
We can't help but dive into the production process that you've had for this particular EP, because this one has just been so intricate. Like, is the vision that you have for this and the artistry that you've had for this. Tell everybody, because it's a pretty special story.
Thank you so much. Well, I began as a live performer, and it was really all I was for the longest time. I remember my earliest experiences of music are my mom and her brothers and sisters and her father singing around a campfire in five-part harmony. And I remember just giving chills all the way up my arms and falling in love in those moments with what it meant to connect live through music with people. And so, long story short, I went on this incredible journey where I became a live performer, primarily doing everything from, you know, playing shows in lounges to playing in bars or in more intimate venues, and also just on the street busking for a lot of years. And because of my relationship deepening with live performance, when I started to enter the studio, I was, I guess, yeah, a little bit, I struggled a little bit with how different it was than from live performance. It didn't feel the same to be in a, you know, a tight little vocal booth with one microphone where you couldn't see the people you were trying to connect to. And it took a lot of time for me to sort of figure out that the art of recording and the art of performing, while the differences are subtle, the impact of them is just massive. And to be successful in each realm, it takes a very different energy. And so I never quite considered myself a producer, even though separate from my life as a performer, I did fall in love with production and arranging and scoring for films and plays and writing music and producing it for other people. I always thought for my own sound, I wouldn't be able to settle for anything less than, you know, collaborating with somebody who had put as much time and energy into producing as I had into performing. But I sent this, you know, I eventually found a record label that I really, really resonated with and had the pleasure of working with them for about a year, and sent them all these demos that I had produced, as well as demos from other producers that I'd worked with. And a couple of the different members on that label messaged me and said, I hope you don't mind us saying this, but we actually greatly prefer the music that you produce on your own, and we would love if you would lead with a self-produced EP.
Nice.
And honestly, all that it took, I didn't realize it, but that was really what I was missing. It was just somebody who was established in the industry, whose opinion I really respected, saying, hey, listen, I think that you are as valuable as a producer as you are as a performer, and kind of just a invitation to explore that. And so with that in my heart, I went on this this journey to realize this album, and did about 100 different versions of each of the songs, but I'm happy with where it ended up.
I think you should be really proud of this. It takes that vulnerability that we're talking about to be able to put on that hat and have that vision to what the emotion should be, what that feeling should be when it comes to each and every single word that you're singing in this EP. And it shows. It really, really shows. So you can tell where your influential roots are and where your spark of the artistry comes into play. And that's why that producing hat works for you.
Thank you, Kim. It means a lot.
When you find a place that you're really comfortable, where are you at your best when you're writing lyrics and your melodies? Where do you go to?
It's honestly, it just feels like getting myself out of the way. I have always written my best material or my most successful material, and how I judge that now is different than how I've always judged it, but evolved to is how I judge how successful a song is how deeply it resonates with individuals. So it used to be how many people a song kind of touched was how I judged a song's success, but now it's really how deeply and profoundly it resonates with individuals. And the most successful songs, almost every single time, come from improvisations. So it's a really it's intentional in a way, but it's intentional and unintentional, or it's intentionally unintentional, I suppose you could say. So my best, to answer your question directly, like my best flow, states of mind for writing these songs comes from whatever it is, whether it's 2:30 in the morning and it feels like my my waking mind has gone to sleep and just allows something deeper to emerge, mm-hmm. or after a couple glasses of wine or something like that to help me sort of satiate my ego and all of these desires that my mind calculates for me, mm-hmm. For what it means to have a successful song. And that all goes to sleep, and I'm just allowed to, I guess, breathe deeper with my music and listen more profoundly and just be a part of the music as opposed to trying to manipulate it into something. And so Only Pieces of the Truth was a song like that, actually, where all of the lyrics and melodies were born at the exact same time as each other as an improvisation, mm-hmm. over a piece of music that I had composed.
Well, it's pretty impressive. And as I said, the artistry and the visionary that you are, it really stands out when it comes to this EP. I love your other music, always have. But when you're taking a look back, it's just the way that the productions are for these songs. You got such interesting delays in a few of the songs, just the way that you've approached it. And then completely opposite in a couple of the other songs. And talk to us about that.
Yeah, so it was an interesting process trying to find, I guess, what my sound was and is. I realized along the way that I'm hoping that I can find a way to resonate through just being as honest as I can be in every stage of the process, to resonate deep enough that my audience will allow me to explore many different genres and styles of music along my journey, because I really am interested in so many different styles as a performing artist. And so when I was creating these songs, I really did create, like, man, dozens of different versions of each of them, and trying to frame them with different chord progressions, frame them with different sonic textures. And I realized that, especially at this stage, the exploration of organic, untouched reality in contrast with manipulated elements, such as these delays and instruments that you don't recognize what they are when you initially hits it. I loved that contrast and playing with that world, where it still felt familiar enough that the production didn't take away from the songwriting. Mm-hmm. But if you sort of delved into it, you could realize that the textures were different or unique or something that's in a direction maybe, or takes a step towards something that you weren't expecting subtly. So it's ranged from the production of the intro, which is called Docks, which was like this collage of sounds that weren't even originally intended to live together, that I sort of had created over a bunch of different productions that I mushed together into this soundscape, to Only Pieces of the Truth, which, you know, it came down to this really intentional guitar piece that was created in the studio after the song was actually written, where I was just trying to look for a new spark, I guess, to bridge the gap between what it was on stage to what it is in the studio. Mm-hmm. And after I had this sort of hypnotic guitar piece that I had sent around it, I looked for different elements that could sort of flesh out the soundscape in the way that I had described. But my favorite element on the EP is probably the introduction element in a song called I Don't Want to Let You Go.
Mm-hmm. That's one I got written down here.
Oh, cool. But it's got this, like, sort of, I don't know how it comes off to somebody that doesn't know what it is, but the on top of this sort of repetitive guitar piece that's happening in the intro, there's this sort of whistling sound on top of it. It sounds like a bunch of flutes. And what that actually was me whistling into a microphone a few different times in harmony, and then delaying it out. And I just love the way that it sets up the world for the rest of the song.
God, you're cool.
Thanks, Kim.
You are really cool. When it comes to, like, when you're talking about all of this, was there a sound that started, you know, when you were younger, that's like, you know, I wish I could make this. There's got to be one that stood out to you and went, this is cool. This is what I want to do.
Oh, it's tough to say if it was a sound when I was younger, because honestly, I was so in love with the energy of performance. And I guess if it had to be a sound, there were probably two. One, when I was really, really, really young, I was still so young that I remember I didn't have to buy a seat to the concert. My parents sat me on their laps, and I got in for free. But they took me to a Stomp concert,
which is
this incredible Canadian band that uses, like, everyday objects to create this percussive sound.
So cool.
And I was just, like, obsessed with them. So I would, like, literally, like, every time we were doing the dishes, my mom and I would, like, bang on pots and pans and have this amazing time.
That is so cool.
And then I became, after that, completely obsessed with my uncle, Chris Hartman, who was in a really famous country band called Emerson Drive. Mm-hmm. And when I was like 12 years old, way too young to be in a bar, I would go to these bars and like just like marvel at their performance energy. And then the person that probably made me want to like pick up a guitar and intentionally write songs similar to them for the first time has got to be John Mayer when I was younger. And just like, how powerful he could be with one guitar and mm-hmm. his voice was something I really wanted to be able to do one day.
A lot of people look to him, an awful lot of artists do, because he's crossed so many barriers when it comes to music. And, you know, just the level of artistry that man has is incredible.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you have it, my friend. You really do. And I'm so happy, you know, I'm proud for you, you know, when it comes to this EP. So I think that you should be so proud of it, 100%.
Thank you so much, Kim. It means so much coming from you. It really does.
Now, you've embarked on a very special challenge that you had as well that, you know, people can really relate to, but you wanted to do something special. And I'll tell everybody about that.
I'm guessing the 100-day busking challenge.
Yep.
Yeah, it was an incredible experience. So I think busking has taught me more about myself as a performer, especially, than any other form of education that I've had in my life. And there's so many different variables about that, but I guess the top ones would be that the audience that is coming to see you hasn't invested in you being good, and they will give you exactly the type of feedback that they want to. So it goes from like playing in a bar where someone has, you know, come out of their way to go and see live music, or even a more extreme circumstance where they've actually paid, where they're really rooting for you to be good. Whereas on the street, if you're playing for someone and they don't like you, they will let you know.
That's
and,
right.
And because of that, I sort of was able to really gauge what was successful about my performance and what wasn't. And because of that, I fell in love with it, the craft. And I really fell in love when I realized that invariably, where I was originally trying to find what it was about my sound, whether it was like upbeat music or music where I sang in my falsetto or really slow music, I was trying to find what is it about me that resonates with people, and it was constantly changing. And it wasn't until I realized that what resonated most with people invariably was what resonated most with me. Mm-hmm. And the beautiful sense of justice that discovery had to me just like made me fall in love with busking to the point where I kind of made it my full-time job for a couple of years. And yeah, I played on the street every chance that I could. And so a friend of mine who I met on the street was walking by the day that we met, and he stopped and really enjoyed my music. We had a conversation, and he left, and he came back again later that day when I was still on the street, and sort of offered to take me out for a drink. And we, over this drink, kind of chatted about it, and he said that he was touched by the power that this unexpected display of music had to make complete strangers feel incredibly comfortable with each other and create this environment of celebration where it was unexpected. And he was just touched by the power that had to sort of bridge the gap and create a sense of community like almost immediately. And it was his idea, actually. He said that if you can create that much energy off of 1 hour of busking on the street, I wonder how much love and community we can create off of 100 days in a row. Mm-hmm. And so he suggested it to me that it would be this 100-day busking challenge that we do primarily in Toronto, and with an effort of just raising, you know, this sense of community and love and energy and support. And it did just that. I started the next day. Because I knew that if I waited any longer, I would probably be too afraid to actually take on the challenge, because it takes quite a bit of work to busk every day.
Yeah.
And did it 100 days in a row. And on day 100, even though it wasn't actually intended, day 100 ended up landing on Canada Day. And by that day, I went out to Woodbine Beach in Toronto, where the fireworks happen, and must have had over 350 people in a full circle around me with their lights out, enjoying the fireworks and my music with me and celebrating the end of the challenge.
Nice.
And,
nice.
Yeah, it was quite an experience.
Well, because when we're talking about this whole journey for you and how much music means to you, because it lights your soul, you can tell it does. But you're, you know, on that whole journey, you're trying to find what is special about your music. Well, what's special is, I think you just discovered that as long as you're writing for yourself, you're writing something that makes you feel good and you're writing and true to yourself, then everyone else is going to connect with it automatic for that reason.
Yeah. It's what a beautiful justice that has, because I feel like so many artists get trapped and even sometimes actually explicitly told that the opposite is true, that you have to sort of fit into a box or, you know, put something on in order to be valuable to people. But yeah, it's quite the opposite, which I was beautifully, really grateful to discover.
Well, fly, my friend, fly, because you're doing it beautifully.
Thank you, Kim.
You're doing it beautifully. Now, when it comes to burning questions part of the interview, are you okay to do that?
Absolutely.
All righty.
And good luck.
Okay. Very first question. I think you kind of answered this, but favorite lyric and melody of all time?
Oh, of all time. The greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return, from Nature Boy by Eden Abbez.
Oh, I don't think I've heard that one.
It's beautiful. It's commonly known as a Nat King Cole song, but it's an old jazz standard called Nature Boy. It's my favorite song in the world.
Oh, I'm going to have to listen to that because I love Nat King Cole. Nat King Cole. Okay. Now, if you could step into the mind, the life, and the shoes of any artist or musician, who would it be and why?
Oh, man. What comes to mind is Bon Iver right now, Justin Vernon. It feels like there was this guy who sort of, it really mattered to him to create something new in the world of music. And so for that reason, I feel like, I guess through the lens of interviews and things like that, I just sensed this turmoil and this anxiety that he had over himself that resulted in him sort of, you know, saying some things that sounded like he was looking down on anybody who created, you know, music for the people or just music for the sake of music. And it feels like in this last year, he has just sort of matured out of that. The magnitude of his artistry is so much greater than mine, so I don't want to feel condescending in any way, but I just wanted to recognize that, like, in this last year or two, it feels like his heart has just opened and he's welcomed all forms of music into his heart in a way that he feels is significant. Mm-hmm. And that, on top of his incredible, unique diversity with creation, has just resulted in some of the most beautiful music I've ever heard coming out of him.
Nice.
As well as just this, like, sense of love that I think he has, which is really, really cool to see.
Nice. If you had one pet peeve, we'll get onto the lighter side, then I'll take it back again. What would it be?
Honestly, it's being itchy. I don't know why, but the physical sensation of being itchy just drives me crazy.
Okay, didn't expect that one. That one's a good one. That's a good one. All right. If you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be?
If I could immediately learn to just constantly connect to my breath, I feel like it would impact my life in a huge way.
Okay.
Just always being able to sort of breathe as, you know, deeply and healthily as I possibly could.
Nice. Now this one hopefully will make you laugh. What is your most useless talent?
Okay. Let's see.
We've all got them.
Useless. I would say, let me see here.
I'm going to see if you overthink it or if you're going to say it.
You know what? My most useless talent is just that I overthink everything. I take the most lighthearted things and make them extremely profound. I guess that's useful in certain ways, though, but sometimes it feels useless.
Favorite thing to do with your siblings?
Just laugh. We just love to just, like, lose our just sense of trying to be funny and just be goofy together and just lose it and just laugh together.
Do you have a favorite series that you like? Something that you love to be and can't miss? You have to sit down and watch it?
Oh, for TV, I immediately went to a book series called Name of the Wind. But I know that. Oh my gosh, that guy's got to finish the last book.
Yes, he does.
Pins and needles. In terms of a TV series, it probably It was Game of Thrones, but they kind of, I don't know, I felt I was with the masses where I felt a little let down with the last episodes.
I know, they cut it too soon.
Yeah.
And they kind of rushed it, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They tried to wrap it up so fast, which I mean, sympathy for the artists, I get why they had to, but it would have been cool to see through to the end.
Okay. Yeah. Music videos. Now, ooh, what you got coming?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited about this music video.
Me too. I can't wait.
Oh my gosh. It's in collaboration with an incredible organization called L'Arche. And it's going to be from a song of mine called Freedom.
I love that song.
Oh, thank you so much. It's going to be, I mean, L'Arche is this organization, not-for-profit organization that creates loving communities centered around people with intellectual disabilities. Mm-hmm. And they've been a part of my life since I was born. My mom and dad are both heavily involved in the community. And some of my best friends are people with Down syndrome and fetal alcohol syndrome. And I couldn't help but notice as I grew older that there are certain things, preconceived notions that society sort of has of these people where they'll deem them as invaluable. And mm-hmm. it's just remarkable that honestly, like, I've been more touched by some of these people than people who would be, you know, deemed as intelligent by society. And so I just wanted to, you know, find a way to lend my mic to offer, I guess, in a world where there's so many incredible conversations happening about social justice, offer my mic to a group of people who deserve this social justice, who wouldn't necessarily take it up for themselves. And had the opportunity of working with L'Arche and a couple of the incredible members of that community to create the first animated music video that we know of, and we've done some research and can't find one, mm-hmm. that will feature the story of a man with Down syndrome trying to find his freedom. And it's so cool. We got a chance to work with Tonic DNA, who's a Canadian Academy Award-winning animation studio.
And my favorite person in the world is working on this with you too.
Oh, cool. Who is that?
Michael McDonald.
Oh, I love him so much. He's probably like the person who I've met least amount of times physically in person. We've met one time, who has impacted my life as much as like my little brother, which is saying a lot.
Special soul. Yeah. He is a special,
incredible person. Honestly.
When is this coming out?
So we don't have an exact date yet. It's a really arduous process to create an animation. Drawing every single frame to make it 24 frames per second. It's just crazy. So Tonic DNA is rushing the process as much as they can, and they're hoping to have the final product by April 16th.
Wow. I didn't think it was coming that soon, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, me neither. They apparently, usually, to do an animation this long, it takes about a year.
Wow.
So to do it in a couple months is just phenomenal work.
You and I are kindred spirits, I swear to God.
Yeah, definitely, Kim. I 100% I believe that. COVID's done, I would love to meet in person and just hang out for a day.
Absolutely. You and I would have some very deep conversations.
Mm.
Very deep conversations. I want to see if you will come back and see us as soon as that video comes out, because this is such a special project, and I would love to be able to bring you back on and show some light to that on the magazine as well as on the show.
Oh, that would mean a lot, Kim. I would love that.
Okay. I look forward to it. And thank you so much for being vulnerable here today and, you know, being able to peel back some of those layers to what makes you who you are. Pretty special soul, my friend. Very special.
Likewise, Kim. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on Music's Journey, and we look forward to having you back. And we just want to remind everybody, if you haven't got Only Pieces of the Truth, if you haven't got that on your radio station where you are locally, you can call them and request it. That's the one way that you can help out. You can also download it, share it, and play it on all your platform streaming. So that really goes an awful long way. So we've got so much to look forward to, Jordan, coming very, very soon with this new video. So thank you once again, and congratulations on your new single and your new EP. Amazing.
Thank you all.
Very special soul. We'll talk to you very soon. And thank you once again, Jordan, for stopping by Music's Journey.
Looking forward to it, Kim.
Okay. Bye-bye. I would like to thank my very special guest, pop artist Jordan Hart, for stopping by Music's Journey. What a very special person. so nice to have him on the show and just to learn a little bit more about his creative mind. It's just an absolute genius. We really appreciate you welcoming us into your home and into your cars and wherever you are listening to our podcast and music. Music has a way of healing souls, and I'm glad that you're taking time to allow that into your life. They can do so much for you and share with the friends around you. So special music and special times. We have some great podcasts coming up for you. We have Jason Benoit. We've got Brett Kessel. We have Mackenzie Lee. We also have Abby Stewart, New Moon Junction. We have Andrew Ferris, the founder for In Excess. Really excited about that interview. Diane Chase is back, and so many more here on Music's Journey. I'm Kim Sear. Go out and make some memories. Make today count. Fill it with as much love as you can. We'll see you soon.
A great big thank you to Jordan Hart for chatting with us today. The Music's Journey podcast is brought to you by NowAndThenMagazine.com. You can listen to all our podcasts on Amazon Music, Google Podcast, Spotify, TuneIn, Alexa, Podcast Addicts, Deezer, Player FM, Podchaser, Pocket Casts, and more. Our theme song is titled I Can Tell by the band Emergence. I'm John Marshall. On behalf of your host, Kim Sear, thank you for listening to Music's Journey.